stop me if you've heard this myth before. The late Walt Disney, creator of Disneyland Amusement Park, was put on ice until some future time when science discovers a cure for death. The body rests in a glass coffin in a chamber below Disneyland's Sleeping Beauty Castle. The coffin was modeled after the one that housed a dormant Snow White in Disney's first animated feature, Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. Disney himself provided the basic design for the chamber. While cancer cells like weasels sucked the air from his lungs, Disney sketched a few rough plans, adding marginal notes to illuminate the more cryptic requests.
He did not believe in bleeding too much to the imagination.
Art directors from several Hollywood movie studios teamed with Disneyland engineers to construct the chamber. Disney's brother Roy reluctantly agreed to finance the operation.
But frankly, Walt, I can't see the money in it.
For stability, the chamber takes the shape of a regular hexagon, Disney's homage to the benzene ring. And when Disneyland's audio animatronic Mr. Lincoln was still in the early design phase, Disney consulted often with the chemist assigned to skin synthesis.
Foreskin and 7 years ago, our fathers brought forth on this incontinent a new nation conceived by libertines and dedicated to the proposition that all heterosexual white men are created equal.
Disney's objective was a protective tissue so real it sweat. Anything less, a department store mannequin, a dummy in one of those boardwalk wax museums, could scarcely sustain the illusion of life.
Well, you see, Mr. Disney, the benzene hydrocarbons bridge the gap between life and the lack of it.
The chamber's refrigeration system monitors and regulates the temperature and vital signs, if any, of Disney's corpse.
And the original analog method of monitoring was replaced by a state-of-the-art microprocessing unit.
The six walls, poured concrete 8 feet thick, reinforced with steel rods, keep the heat and worms out. A hydroelectric generator, driven by a chute of water in the Disneyland ride, Pirates of the Caribbean provides the chamber's electrical power. And though Disney had every confidence in the continued output of the park's own impressive energy plant, he directed his corporate executives to purchase and stockpile any available under-the-counter plutonium, just in case. Access to the frozen Disney is denied all but close family, business associates, and a carefully screened crew of maintenance people and technicians. Park security's success, however, in keeping out those who don't belong has not been, well, total. Several years ago, a concessionaire was dismissed for, rumor has it, storing raw hamburger patties in the chamber.
Ew!
An elevator in an off-limits turret of the castle transports the visitors to a narrow underground corridor. Ride the moving walkway past simulated rock formations, stalagmites, phosphorescing red and orange beneath the overhead black lights, surplus from the chambers of horrors, the tunnels of love of 100 lesser midways long since gone under. Here, at regularly scheduled intervals, the amplified plop of driblets falling and rippling through hidden pools, the sizzle of steaming hot springs.
Hey, watch out for that waterfall of fire directly ahead.
Just a little amber light and cellophane.
Wow, what imagination they have.
We continue toward an arcing wall of incandescent steel, now slowly rising. Pass under it just moments before it retracts entirely and enter the chamber. Inside, that membrane of sweat, formed of the corridor's molten deceptions, freezes and flakes from the back of our necks. A catchy dirge plays low and clear from everywhere at once.
Another advantage of the benzene ring is good acoustics.
Glass tubes of charged argon encircle the walls, glow of dim indigo in the darkness like phosphines. In this hint of light, we see only the faint wake of our own breath, an icy spray of pale orchid. The walkway curves and carries us to the right, the change in forward direction just perceptible in the tickle of spindles pivoting beneath our feet, cues a certain anticipation, like turning a corner in a funhouse, like the ascent, slow as death, of a roller coaster car up that first steep slope.
Something's gonna happen.
And, though we've taken the same ride 1,000 times, the certainty of that one future event makes it no less thrilling. Might even be the reason we've returned.
Say, it's awful quiet in here. I could have sworn there was music playing just a...
A sudden single chord, loud and rising. A flash of light from above. A small white disc of light projects a cone of quicksilver haze around the glass coffin before us. We lean and strain to see beyond the frosted glass as the walkway draws us closer, the chamber's sound systems playing When You Wish Upon a Star.
A tune from Mr. Disney's 1940 animated feature, Pinocchio.
We near the foot of the coffin and...
Oh my gosh, there's something in there!
A suggestion of form escapes through the glare and frost, begins to materialize as blowers concealed in the coffin's base slowly clear the surface of the glass. Under the rising curtain of mist, we see clearly the image of Disney.
My God!
In shoes, suit, and tie, wedding band and watch, handkerchief in jacket pocket, and a fresh carnation pinned to the lapel. Disney's body and attire, flesh, cloth, and metal, appear all of a color, a single shade of electric blue, stippled with a violet shadow. A nice effect.
Of light, cold, or death?
Maybe some art director got carried away with the phosphorescent paint.
Rounding Disney's head, we hit the perigee in our elliptic tour of the coffin. The closest we'll ever get to him.
In this lifetime.
To that face, avuncular, close as the old zenith on Sunday evenings, bathed and prone on the living room carpet in the warmth of flannel, just washed and dry, elbows to the floor, chin raised on fists, feet in the air dangling, waiting, through the trailers, commercial spots, station identifications, through that timeless zone between shows, waiting as the NBC Peacock logo spreads its tail for the opening strains of that familiar theme on Color's Wonders, for Tinkerbell's animated flight across the screen, for the perfect voice of a man we'll never see, announcing tonight's episode, a truly special episode. The Swamp Fox, Johnny Tremaine, Daniel Boone, Davy Crockett, Texas John Slaughter, El Fago Baca, Zorro, Gallagher, Kilroy, Pollyanna, Toby Tyler, Moochie.
Hi, Mom. Hi, Pop. Hi, Mr. Preston.
Hi, Moochie.
Mickey Mouse and Minnie, Donald Duck, Goofy,
Gosh.
Pluto, Professor Ludwig von Drake.
Let me introduce myself. How do you do? I am Professor Ludwig von Drake, and today we are going to discuss the wonderful world of color. In fact, I got all written down here in black and white.
Johnny Appleseed, Pecos Bill.
Whoa, Pecos Bill was quite a cowboy down in Texas, and the Western Superman, to say the least. He was the roughest, toughest...
Casey Jones, Casey at the Bat, Sancho the Steer, Stormy the Thoroughbred, Concho the Coyote Who Wasn't,
Chico the Coyote.
Who was?
Greta the Greyhound. Ida the Beagle. Nikki the Wild Dog. Hector the Stowaway Dog. Minato the Wolverine.
Ooh, shiny.
Joker the Ocelot. Sammy the Seal.
When a couple of fun-loving boys discover a way-out seal at the beach, that's a picnic.
Flash, the teenage otter.
Growing up on a small Missouri farm, Mr. Disney developed a love for animals and nature.
Eskimos of Alaska.
Thousands of years before Columbus reached the New World, a migration of Asiatic nomads moved eastward across the great ice bridge that joined the continents. They were refugees from the bleak plains of Siberia, driven by hunger and the urge to find a new homeland.
People of the desert. Prowlers of the Everglades. Horses of the West. Killers of the High Country. Monsters of the Deep. Spain, Morocco, Samoa, Holland, Lapland, Antarctica, the South Pole. Man in flight, man in space, man in the moon, Mars and beyond.
In this exciting age when everyone seems to be talking about the future possibilities of space travel, there's much speculation on what we will discover when we visit other worlds. Will we find planets with only a low form of vegetable life? Or will they be mechanical robots controlled by super intelligent beings?
Our friend the Atom. Mathmagic Land.
Mathmagic Land.
Mathmagic Land.
And Disneyland. The story of A Further Report On, A Trip Through, An Adventure In, Holiday Time At, Inside...
Who was it?
Disneyland. The Park After Dark, Disneyland 61, Disneyland Goes to the World's Fair, Disneyland's 10th Anniversary. Waiting, even now, during that distant Kodak minute, for Disney himself. Calm and relaxed in his studio office, pupils twinkling below puffed lids as he stands before a wall of books, bound in leather, neatly arranged, fingers with infectious delight a coonskin cap, a baseball bat, a musket, a model rocket, a gold doubloon, waiting for the moment he looks up, meets our eyes and, though not surprised, seems pleased to see us, pleased to get this chance to talk to us. He's been so busy lately, we can just see it in his face. So blue, we reach to adjust the tint of the color set we never had. The trenches in his brow, lines sparking from his sleeping eyes. So deep beneath the layers of pancake, we can't see the bottom. Disney's face, the mustache, a trademark older than the mouse itself. The swept-back hair, unguent strands catching the light like foam on the breakers of a violet sea. After all, still smiling, glistening under the spot.
Glistening?
Speak to us again, Walt, like you used to. Tell us what you have in your hands, how if only it could talk, the tales it would tell. How Walt Disney, spokesman for the speechless, the inanimate, the dead, tells them, for that short parcel of time the network let you, for one last glorious hour, before bed and troubled sleep, Monday mornings in schoolrooms, musty with wet clothes, chalk dust, and stale milk. Before the walkway takes us from this chamber, back through the corridor, the steel wall descends behind us, dying glow beneath it like a winter's twilight. And, in the elevator's silence, we're returned to the surface, wondering...
Are there tickets left? And time? To do it again?
When you
gonna start. Makes no difference who you are. Anything your heart desires will come to you.
The Frozen Disney was written and produced for radio by Ken Jones and features Lynn, Grace, Conch, and an audio animatronic, Rolf. What are you going to do next, Rolf?
I'm going to Disneyland!
Upon a star, as dreamers do.